Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Well, I want to share a word for us that is going to be a two-part application. We're going to pray. I'm going to talk about the first part, then we're going to pray together, and we'll talk about the second part. Last week in our country was a very tragic week. With the things that, with the shooting in Louisiana and Minnesota and Texas and then Michigan, it was a week that was full of violence and injustice. I was reading my Bible this morning at about 5:15. I got a phone call from a brother, and we were talking about this. I was talking to another sister today who actually is part of our church family. And the young man who was actually killed in Minnesota, she knew who he was. She was from that community. And these things that happen, that are happening in our nation, are very close to home. And it's important that we have a biblical perspective on the times. If you believe that, say amen. There's so many things, and things just get stirred in our nation, even in our nation. Even the things that are happening with those in authority, in the political arena, in the governing arena, in just various aspects of what's happening in our country, and then even around the world with a new breed of terrorism. And it's just, there's a lot happening. But, you know, the Lord said that in the end times that there would be, things would be troubled, there would be wars, there would be rumors of wars. And even, unfortunately, what we are seeing in our country during this time, this is not something that is new. This is something that has been happening since man actually began. The Cain killed his own brother Abel, and that's where this all started. Actually, it started when Adam and Eve sinned, but even their own children. Death and violence, injustice, has been a part of the fabric of the fallen nature of man and the fallen nature of society. Even when the Lord looked down on the earth during Noah's day, one of the reasons why he decided to start over was because violence had taken over the world. And the Lord said, I can no longer tolerate this. I need to reset. And so when these things happen, it is very near to the heart of the Father. And us as the people of God, it's important that we have a biblical response. And one of the most difficult things, brothers and sisters, is that even if the world grows callous and the world's heart can grow cold towards and numb towards these sorts of things, it's important that us as Christians, that these things always bother us. You might say, well, Pastor Matt, there's always bad things happening. Yes, there is. But it is important for us as Christians. The Bible says this, to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And I want to read a passage of Scripture that I believe is going to help us to shed light on this issue. Because today it's one issue, and it's a very big one. Tomorrow, it might be a different flavor of it. But at the end of the day, tragedy, injustice, persecution, pain, turmoil, these sorts of things are going to continue to happen, brothers and sisters. And the reason we know that is because the Bible talks about that. That I believe biblically, and even though, by the way, let me pause here. Maybe you're here today and seeing what happened has enraged you. It has hurt you. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says this, though, in the New Testament. It says, in your anger, do not sin. God created us with emotions, and emotions are a good thing. But the key of Christian maturity is when we feel these feelings inside of us, what we do with them is one of the most important things. And so I want to just understand my heart, and I know I speak for Pastor Toledo on this, that racism is demonic. Racism is of the devil. If you know my story, I've shared this before. I'm 25% black. If you don't believe it, I'll show you something that will help you believe it. I had an afro that was 6 inches high, okay? Some of them have seen the picture, but I keep that thing locked up. I'm adopted. My two sisters are adopted. They're black, and we grew up in a very white neighborhood in the south suburbs of Chicago. And I remember one Halloween night, we were watching The Cosby Show, and everything was just fine, and someone broke our windows, shouting the N-word and screaming at us, targeting us in this regard. Different people in the neighborhood knew that my family was mixed, and they wouldn't let me even play in their yard, just lots of stuff at school. And so this is something that Pastor Toledo experienced, very similar things when he was playing baseball and the like. And so even for us as a leadership, this is something that we've personally have walked through versions of it, though nobody knows what you feel. Here's what's important about that. Sometimes we go through things individually. Nobody understands it. But can I tell you one person that does? Jesus Christ understands it. Okay? He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? But, so today it's racism. Tomorrow it might be being persecuted for what we believe in. The next day it might be something else. Brothers and sisters, we live in an evil world that is fallen and broken. I heard one man of God say this. He said, if it wasn't for the church of Jesus Christ, our world would have fallen into chaos a long time ago. God is actually withholding evil because of us, his bride, who's on the earth. But we have a biblical responsibility. And I want to walk through that with us a little bit tonight. And I want to actually take a psalm, and I want to break it into two parts. And we're going to walk through what is our response. What is our response in these times? And here it is in Psalm verse 65, verse 1 through 4. It says this. Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. So, what this picture, just keep that up there, please. This is a picture that the psalmist is describing a lot of what we're experiencing here today. This is a picture where the psalmist is describing what it's like in the house of God. What one thing that we should see in the house of God is that praise awaits the Lord. I mean, you know, it's good to praise the Lord, amen? And that's what we've been doing. We've been praising the Lord. That's the reality of his house, is that it's a place of praise. The second thing, the reality, what the Lord's house should look like is on the inside is that you answer prayer, to you all people will come. Now this verse is there's so much in this verse, but we can never take for granted the fact that we serve a God who answers prayer. Do you recognize that there are millions and probably billions of people on the earth who the God that they serve, they're not sure that he'll answer. They're just hoping that that God will answer. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God that we serve, he will answer prayer. And what's wonderful about him answering, he's saying, you're going to answer prayer and then all people will come. All people from all walks of life, from every nation. If you go to the book of Revelation, one of the things, here's how we know that the Lord's heart is for all people, is because it says that there will be representatives from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation will be gathered around the throne of God. And so when we pray and God answers, all people will come and will draw near. One of our dear brothers in our church, Bossy, many of you know Bossy, raise your hand. He's right over here, Bossy, wonderful man of God. He came to the States from Nigeria many years ago. He's a grad school student at Moody, been in our church for about 4 or 5 years now. And he told me today, he said, Pastor Matt, this is the verse that actually brought me to the Lord. He said, he was on the streets of one of the cities in Nigeria. Someone gave him a Bible. And this was the verse that jumped out to him, that he realized that all people can actually gain access to God himself. And he said, and it actually says in the King James, it says that all flesh will come to you. And so this is a powerful verse for him. So for us, we can say, God, we're thankful that all people will come and you answer prayer. Verse three says this, if we were overwhelmed and we're forgiven, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Brothers and sisters, aren't you thankful that even when our sins overwhelmed us, it didn't overwhelm the Lord? And it was his blood and his love and his mercy is large enough to wipe away all of our sins. That's the blessing of being in the house of God. Maybe you're here today and you've never even heard about what it means to be in God's house. Let me give you a 2-minute explanation. There, God himself sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, and Jesus shed his blood on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we accept that gift from God, we accept Jesus' sacrifice, we become sons and daughters of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of John, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become sons and daughters of God. And so when we confess to the Lord that we are sinners and we accept the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts, he forgives all of our transgressions. That is the blessing of God's house. Can we say the blessing of God's house? The blessing of being in God's house. The first blessing is that it's a place of praise. The second blessing is that it's a place of prayer. The third blessing is it's a place of forgiveness. And then here kind of sums it up. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. My friends, it is so wonderful that we can come to a place like this on a Tuesday night. The church is actually meant, this type of gathering is meant to be insulated from the world. It is. The local fellowship, the local family of God, we're not gathering around the world. We're gathering around the throne room of heaven. This becomes holy ground. We are the body of Christ. We are the blood-washed sons and daughters of the Lord. This is a family meeting when we gather together in the house of God, as the house of God, and we're able to say, you know what? We have left the world out there, but we are here now, and we're one step away from heaven, and we are in the presence of the Lord, and all the good things of the Lord's house. Oh, it's good to be in the Lord's house, the blessings of God's house. It's meant to be a safe place. It's meant to be a place where there is no violence. There is no discrimination. God's house is supposed to be a place of love and acceptance. And I praise God that God has allowed this church and this fellowship to be that. The Lord desires that his house would always be that way. That's why he even said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. This is to be a holy hospital. It's a trauma center. You know, we have a marriage ministry that meets almost once a month, and we've had couples. I've shared this a couple times. One couple was at the divorce counselor. They came with divorce papers in hand, and they walked into the church because somebody told them, you need to go to the church. And so they came in here, and they said they were fuming. They were like, we're pretty much tomorrow about ready to get a divorce. They met with one of our marriage leaders. They gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Their marriage has been restored. They're being baptized. They're growing in the Lord. They have become part of the Lord's house. God's house is meant to be a trauma center where people can come in. It's a refuge. It's a place where people can come and be safe from all alarm. That's how the Lord meant his house to be. Brothers and sisters, that is the blessing of God's house. And by the way, that's why the devil attacks churches, because if he can destroy the house of God, he can destroy the work of God and the movement of God and the plans of God in the earth. So it's a good thing. I'm giving you what they call in Bible schools ecclesiology. It's the theology of church and the theology of the church, the theology of the gathering of God's people. So it's a good thing for us to gather together like this. This is biblical. It's important. This is the blessing of God's house, the blessing of his house. But brothers and sisters, the blessing is never meant to stop here. And so now we're going to look at the second part of this psalm that talks about, okay, God doesn't want just his blessing just to remain here, even though this is a safe place. He wants his blessing to extend. Now look here, it says this. It says, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Look up here for a second. What this verse is saying is that even though the blessing of his presence and the blessing of his provision, the blessing of his forgiveness starts in his house, he's always wanting it to extend to the nations. He's always wanting it to reach outside of the doors, reach into the community, reach into the workplace, reach across state lines, reach across national lines, reach to the farthest stretches of the world. As it says this, and I love what begins to propel the move of God. It says, you what? Answer us. And that's saying that we have gathered together to pray. And so when we gather in God's house and we pray and we're saying, God, we need you to do something. We've prayed for the nations. We've prayed for specific situations. We have prayed and asked God to do things. And God says, okay, I'm going to answer you. But brothers and sisters, he doesn't answer us in a small way. The Bible says he will answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. It is so important for us to understand why the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the week. Do you really, my prayer for you today is, God, help your people to understand that what happens here in 90 minutes, I believe God can use it to literally save a nation. I believe the Bible teaches that the power of God, amen. I believe that as we pray here, maybe one day we pray for some tribe out in a jungle in Madagascar. I know that the Bible says, God, your blessing can extend from here thousands of miles. We don't have to get on a plane. The Holy Spirit's already there. He can reach down and heal and touch and save and deliver and release from the bondage of hell. Hallelujah. It is no small matter when God's people gather together to pray. It is no small matter when we gather in his house and believe him for awesome and mighty deeds. That is what he has created us for, to be able to stand in the gap and to believe that the God we serve is not in small things. Yes, he is, but oh, he is in the business of delivering and healing and releasing his power and doing awesome and mighty deeds for his glory in his name. Hallelujah. The devil is always trying to minimalize prayer. He said, ah, stay home. You don't need to go to that prayer meeting. Oh, your prayers don't mean anything. Oh, you didn't even read your Bible today. What makes you think you can go to the Lord's house and pray? You don't need to do that. He's whispering this to pastors all over America. People aren't going to show up to a prayer meeting. You don't need to pray. Just have fellowship and eat food and do a small group and just do a study. Just read a book, because that's what the people want. They don't want to pray. Brothers and sisters, if the devil can stop the people from praying, he stops the blessing of God from moving throughout the earth. It says, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior. He's the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Jesus is the hope of the nations. He's the hope for those brothers. He's the hope for those who are sold into slavery in Southeast Asia. He's the hope for those who are in oppression under Islam. And he's the hope for those who are in North Korea that have never even heard that there is a God. He's the hope for those who are in Western Europe who are just obsessed with their own success. He's the hope of those who are even here in Chicago who think they're religious, but they don't even know God. They lack a relationship with Jesus. Politicians aren't the hope of the world. Governments aren't the hope of the world. Social movements aren't the hope of the world. Only Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. We thank you, Jesus. Hope. You're the hope, Jesus. And now what I love about this passage is the Lord kind of gives his resume. Kind of says, okay, I want to tell you why I'm qualified to do these things. He says, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. My friends, even with all of our technological advancement in the last 100 years, with the education that we have, with the modern convenience, with the, quote, advancement of mankind throughout the industrial age, the age of enlightenment, the modern era. You know what's amazing? Is we still haven't figured out how to stop a hurricane. We haven't figured out how to stop a tsunami from happening. We haven't figured out how to stop a tornado from destroying a town. We haven't figured out how to stop a storm from coming and tearing up a community. But you know, it's wonderful that even though we haven't figured out how to even control nature, and if you think about it, I always wonder, it's like mankind can become so impressed with himself. It's actually been part of our nature since the beginning. Built the Tower of Babel, and we get so full of ourselves. Look at my achievements. Look at our achievements. Look at what we've accomplished. Look at the buildings we've built. Look at the knowledge we've attained. Sometimes you walk downtown and you can look at the skyscrapers, and it is a wonderful feat. But you know, one storm could knock everything down. One earthquake, one act of nature can destroy everything. And we have no power even over that. But we serve one who stood up and he rebuked the storm. He stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And he rebuked it, and the winds and the waves were calm. That's his resume. If you ever question the Lord and you say, "God, is the Lord able to do this?" Well, no one's, he's able to, if he's able to calm a storm, he's able to do all things. And I believe prophetically for us tonight, honestly, it leads into this, these last six words. So not only does he still the roaring of the seas, and we're going to pray here in a moment now. Not only does he still the roaring of their waves, but he stills the turmoil of the nations. Now this word turmoil, in the Hebrew dictionaries, I looked it up and did some study this afternoon. The Hebrew, the word turmoil actually means clamor, uproar, and listen to this, loud social situation, varying in degree of a riot. This is straight from the Hebrew lexicon, and it's saying, okay, this word turmoil, if you could put that back up there, this word turmoil, that he stills the turmoil of the nations. This is saying that the Lord is the one who's able to still the social unrest. The Lord is the one who's able to even address things that are systemic, that are cultural, that are even part of the psyche of a nation. The Lord is able to deal with that. The turmoil of a nation. Brothers and sisters, our nation is starting to stir, and it's stirring in the wrong direction as you're seeing it. And you know, the devil loves chaos. And he loves to prey upon chaos because it creates fear. It creates anxiety. It creates this sense of oh my goodness, I don't know what is going to happen. Just like being in a storm, we read the news, we read what's happening, and we ourselves can begin to be sucked into the turmoil. And even though our nation is in turmoil, as the Bible says, the God that we serve is able to still the turmoil of a nation. If you believe that, let's put our hands together and praise the Lord for his promise. Hallelujah. So, we've looked at two things. One, the blessings in his house. And then two, what the blessings look like when they move out of his house. One of the blessings that the Lord loves to bring is peace to nations. Peace to nations. This is something only the Lord can do. So what about us? What is it that we do in the midst of turmoil? When turmoil starts to take place in our culture, in our city, in our nation, what is the response of the New Testament Christian? And I believe that there are two responses. One is a private response. One is a public response. And we see this all throughout Scripture. We know that the weapons that we fight with are not of this world. They are not natural. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Remember, the kingdom of God is wrestling against the kingdom of darkness. In New Testament Christianity, it always starts in the unseen and then it makes its way into the seen. Whenever we start doing something externally that has not yet been secured internally, it will ultimately not last. So, the first response that we have, the private response, is what I want to call tonight the call to intercede. The call to intercede. Can we all say intercede? When we see turmoil, when we see injustice, when we see things happening that are stirring, the first response of the Christian is not to get up in arms. We're going to talk about what to do in the natural in a minute, but the first thing is that we are to go to our knees and we are to go to the place of prayer and intercede. Now, the reason I didn't say a call to pray is because prayer is good, but there's a type of praying that's called intercession. And intercession is when you're saying, God, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to take the responsibility for what's happening, and I'm going to pray for the blessing of God to still the turmoil. And I'm going to pray that the blessing I've experienced, the forgiveness of sins, that would see the forgiveness of sins take place. I'm going to begin to stand and pray, and I want to ask the Lord to do something that only He can do. And listen, we see this all throughout Scriptures. Even Jesus said this. Jesus said, listen, that we're to pray for those who persecute us. So maybe you've experienced turmoil, you've experienced injustice. Jesus actually said that in this lifetime, we will all experience persecution at one level or another if we're serious about following the Lord. So when we see injustice, when we see persecution, when we see things that are wrong, when we see things that create turmoil and unrest around us, the Lord said, pray, intercede. He actually says in the book of Timothy, listen, I want you to lift up all authorities, all kings and those in authority, and I want you to pray for them. Now you have to understand the New Testament context. It would make the current presidential candidates look like perfect compared to the emperors of Rome. If you understand history, when the command to pray for those in authority was given, they were burning Christians at the stake. They were burning them. They were killing them. And they get a letter and they get the word of the Lord. It says, guess what you're supposed to do? Not go on a picket line. You need to pray for them. And you need to pray for them. Not just pray, but you need to pray for their soul. You need to pray for salvation. Because as it says in the book of 1 Timothy, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is why Jesus came. Now you might say that's impossible. I would say yes, it is, but not with the grace of God. It's totally possible. You might say, what? Injustice? Aren't I supposed to speak aloud and do something? We're going to talk about that last. Listen, we're not supposed to speak to men first. We're supposed to speak to God first. Because God is the Lord of justice. Every man will be held accountable. Every person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account for their action. But when we come, I've heard brothers say this, listen, somebody hurt me, but can I tell you, when you get on your knees for that person that is creating that injustice or maybe that turmoil is happening, and you begin to pray for their soul, and you begin to say, God, I have hate in my heart. God, I have bitterness in my heart. I have pain in my heart, but I don't know how to do this. But God, help me to pray for them. And you stay on your knees. And as you begin to pray, you will find that the Spirit of God will sweep into your heart. And you'll begin to feel the heart of the Father. You'll begin to feel love. You'll begin to feel compassion. You'll begin to feel mercy. And oh, I've seen it done where the Lord will begin to show you your infirmities and where would you be without the grace of God. And then before you know it, you begin to lift that person up and you begin to say, God, as you've had mercy on me, would you have mercy on them, oh Lord? God, they're in darkness. God, they can't see. God, it's not them, it's the devil. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Release their soul. Even though they persecuted me, I claim them for Jesus. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's biblical. And our response is to take up the call of intercession. And because when we do that, then God begins to push back in a way that nobody ever could do. Nobody could push back. Let's close our eyes for a moment. If you're here tonight, I believe that this is going to be a different type of altar call. And you would say, I hear the word of the Lord tonight. I understand the blessings of being in his house. But then I also recognize that there are blessings that God wants to bring to the world. There's blessings he wants to bring to the nations. There's the blessing of his presence, of his forgiveness. There's the blessings of his power that he wants to bring to my neighborhood, my community. He wants to bring to my enemies. And maybe you've been fretting and you've been doing things in a different way. Maybe you haven't done anything at all. Maybe you've kind of grown indifferent. I've been there. Maybe when you see the things on the news, you kind of just say, oh, there it goes again. I believe the charge from the Holy Spirit tonight is the question of, is there a man, is there a woman that will be a watchman on the wall and will stand and intercede? Is there a man, is there a woman that will pray and will respond to the call to intercede in the face of turmoil, to intercede in the face of injustice, to intercede in the face of chaos and uncertainty? The Lord is looking tonight. The Lord is looking tonight for a heart that says, Lord, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to be cold. But I will be used by you to pray and to stand in the gap and to intercede. I believe a lie that the enemy sows in the hearts and the minds of God's people is my prayers don't even matter. Brothers and sisters, there has been historical evidence of one man, one woman who said yes to Jesus, and God using one person. He doesn't need 100. He can use one person to change a home, to change a workplace, even to change a nation. And if you want to say yes and respond to the call to intercession, and you want to pray for the grace to intercede in the midst of turmoil. When you see the news, instead of going to social media, you go to your prayer closet. Instead of going to fear, you go to faith. And you say, I've got to go and pray. When you hear the turmoil, you also hear the trumpet of heaven, and you say, I'm going to respond to the call to pray and to believe God that my prayer, God will use it for his kingdom and his glory. I want to be an agent of the Lord. I want to be an agent of the Holy Spirit. I want to be an agent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who stands to intercede. I want him to use me to stand and to intercede for what I am seeing around me. If you want to respond to that call, I want to ask you just to stand in your seat tonight. We're going to pray together. You say, I want the Lord to use me. I want to respond to the call to intercede in the midst of turmoil. Going up everywhere. Slip out of your seat and come to the front. Come to the altar. We're going to stand together. We're going to pray. He stills the turmoil of nations, but he does it through his people, through his church. In a moment, we're going to pray for grace. Come on, spread out across the front. We have a lot. We need room. We can go into the aisles. Right now, just say, God, I say yes. Just say, God, I say yes. Just begin to say, God, I say yes. I say yes, Lord. I say yes to the call to intercede, to pray. Begin to pray, God, use me as the solution. Use me, Father. Use me, Jesus. Use us, Father. Use us, Lord. Maybe you've gone to other things and you haven't gone to the Lord. Just put those before the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to run to this thing first. I want to run to you when I hear the news. Maybe the Lord has been prompting you to pray and you've ignored the voice of the Spirit. Just ask for forgiveness. Don't be condemned about it. Maybe one of you are here. The Lord has woken you up in the nighttime to pray and you haven't responded. Maybe the Lord prompted you at the lunchtime to pray. Maybe he prompted you in the morning to pray. Don't feel condemned tonight. Just say, God, forgive me for that. Lord, I say yes now. Don't worry about yesterday. God, I say yes today. I say yes today, Lord. I say yes to the call to intercede. We say yes, Father. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Father. Just begin to say, God, use my life. Use my life as an intercessor. Use my life as in prayer. Use my life, Lord. Use my life. Use my life, God. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Close. Listen to this promise. This is a promise from the Lord from the book of Zechariah chapter 12. The Lord says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. A spirit of grace and supplication. This is talking about in the future with God's people in the nation of Israel, but I believe for us even today, the principle remains that God needs to pour out a spirit of intercession. He has to pour out a spirit of grace because it takes grace to intercede. It takes grace to pray in the midst of turmoil. Take the hand of the person next to you, and I want you to begin to pray, God, would you pour out a spirit of intercession? Give us the grace to intercede. It's not by our own power and our own strength. It's the grace of the Lord. It takes the grace of the Lord. It takes the strength of the Lord. Begin to pray to the left and to the right. God, would you pour out a spirit of grace? Would you pour out a spirit of prayer? Pour out the spirit of intercession. Supplication is a type of prayer. God, we don't have it in us, but Lord, we want to be used by you. We respond to the call to intercede. Pour out a new spirit upon us, oh God, to intercede in the midst of turmoil. Pour out the spirit of intercession, oh God. Pour out the spirit of intercession, oh God. have the spirit of intercession, Lord. To pray. This world needs a praying people. This city needs a praying people. God, give us the grace, a new measure of intercession, a new measure to go and to pray and to fight, oh God, a new measure to pray, a new measure to stand in the gap. Help us, Lord, help us, God, from the youngest to the oldest amongst us. Upon your people. We are responding to your promise and your word. We're responding to your charge. We're saying yes to you, God. Pour it out. Pour it out upon us, God. Pour it out upon us, Lord. Rebuke the devil's lie tonight that says that our prayers don't matter. We rebuke the devil's lie tonight that says that we have to earn our way to praying. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has given us access. We thank you that the heavens have been opened for us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Grace of intercession, Lord. We thank you to the left and to the right tonight. God, we thank you, Father, that you're pouring out a spirit of intercession in a new way for us. God, we thank you that you have ordained that we would be part of the solution of your kingdom, oh God. Father, we thank you that the word of God also says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against your church, oh Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you are the hope of the nation and that you have positioned us, God, to be able to pray and to intercede, Lord, in the name of Jesus. going to pray for one more thing. You can just keep holding hands for a moment. So the private response, just look up here for a second. The private response is the call to intercession. But the public response is the commission to love. The public response is the commission to love. Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, when we go from this place privately, when we see turmoil, our response is to intercede. But when we leave our place of prayer and our place of intercession, when we go out into the world, there is a Christian activism that Jesus started in the New Testament. Marches are fine. Those are great. Peaceful demonstrations. Praise God for the democratic liberty to go and to voice our opinion. That is wonderful. That's important. But if you think about even after that, even after the demonstrations are gone, everyone's got to go back to work and go back to their house. You see, loving, the answer to turmoil, it's not an event. It's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. Okay? And it's the lifestyle of love. Can we say love? Perfect love casts out all fear. And can I tell you that even specifically when it comes to the issue of racism and the segregation and the challenges we're facing this week, at least this week in our country, is that a lot of it is birthed of fear and things that have grown in people's hearts for years. They don't even recognize it. The answer is the supernatural love of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you one of the things that the Holy Spirit specializes on? Is prompting his people to exercise love. There's been times I've heard stories where you're total strangers. You don't even know them. And the Lord will prompt you. Go up to them and talk to them. Go up to them and pray with them. Go up to them and pay for their lunch. Go up to them and just say, listen, do you know God? And share the love of Jesus. Can I tell you, even from this room and from our church and even those that are Christians, can you imagine if every Christian tomorrow stepped out and did just one supernatural act of love? Do you know the impact that that would make? Jesus Christ said, they're going to know that you're Christians, not because of your buildings, not because of your programs, not because of anything. He said, they're going to know that you're Christians and therefore that they're going to know me by your what? Love. So the private response is the call to intercession. The public response to these issues, to turmoil, to even this specific issue that we're facing, is the commission to love. God has commissioned us to love, to not just love in our heart, but to demonstrate that in our actions. To some of us, it's foreign. Some of us, that demonstration of love is going to start right at home. You're going to learn to love God. You're going to step out and give your wife a hug tonight. You're going to give her a kiss. You're going to tell your children that you love them. But God never meant for it to stop there. When you go to your workplace and we go to total strangers and we go into the world and brothers and sisters, even in the midst of injustice, the response is the supernatural love of God. The Lord Jesus said, how good is it to love somebody who loves you? No, love your enemies. Love those who persecute you, because then they're going to know that you belong to me. And then what the devil meant for evil and what he meant to build up a wall, with a wall may have been built up in someone's heart for generations, going back for 4 or 5 generations. One supernatural act of love can break down the wall of hostility. And so social needs and social issues and all that, those are fine. We as the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't just have the solution. We carry the solution, because the love of God is in us through Christ in us, the hope of glory, and flows through us. Okay, so here's what we're going to pray. We're not just going to pray for ourselves. I'm going to pray for the entire church. I want to pray for the church in America. I want to pray for everyone who names Jesus Christ as Lord in this country. And I have big faith tonight, my friends. I have big faith that even right now we're going to be ending, we're going a little late, that from this prayer meeting of 400 people, love will flow from this place and will fill the heart. Come on, let's begin to lift our voices. God, fill your church with love. Fill your church with love. Fill your church with the agape, the supernatural love of the Lord. Fill your church with the love of God. May your people say yes to the commission of your love. May we love those who hate. May we love those who are in pain. May we love those who are full of animosity. We pray for the supernatural love of God tonight. We lift our voice. We lift our voice, oh God. We know you hear us from the sanctuary. We know you hear us from your house, oh God. We know you hear us by the love of God tonight. Thank you for your love.
To you, Father. We gathered as your church tonight, God, hearing from your word that you are the one who calms the tumults of the nations. And Lord, we cast our faith on you. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. And Lord, we reach out to you, God, at this season of tumult in all the corners of this country. We ask that your power will overflow, God, that you will give a shout of a king against every tumult in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will shout against every shout of hell, you will shout against every shout of disaster, you will shout, Lord, against every shout of death in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that as your word has come forth, Lord, and has called us forth, God, to respond as intercessors, Lord, people who will stand in the gap, Lord, on behalf of the world and your church, we ask that you will empower us, Father, by the Spirit that raised your Son from the dead, that we will be enabled to cry out to you. Father, loosen our spirit, loosen our heart, loosen our soul, loosen our mind, loosen our compassion, loosen us up, God. Use us, God, to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the efficacy of the blood of your Son that was shed on the cross. It was shed so that love can flow to all nations. God, may you open the church up for love in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you rain the baptism of love upon your church. God, may you raise us up, God, to love our neighbors, to love our friends, to love our enemies, everyone, God, that is bitter. Today we pray that the Holy Spirit will crush the strength of bitterness. Anyone that is bound by the spell of hatred, that you will break that in the name of Jesus. Every curse of hatred, we come against you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the church in America. You died for the church. Every one single believer, you died for it. You purchased them by your own blood, God. It costs you your own life, Lord Jesus. We are asking, God, that you will loosen us up from everything that has blocked our mind. Every darkness that has been spread over us. It is written in your word that it shall come to pass that the covering cast over nations shall be destroyed. Today we claim the power of your word. And we ask, God, that you break such covering cast in the name of Jesus Christ. Break it in the name of Jesus. Break the darkness in the name of Jesus. Break disaster in the name of Jesus. Break shootings in the name of Jesus. Break the chains in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you give us spiritual insight in the church among your servants. Father, awaken them by your power. Anoint them, Lord, to represent you. Send us prophetic voices from your pulpit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory. We give you honor as we dismiss from this place tonight, God. We ask that every one of us will carry a fresh fire of love. 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 Take your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you for the fresh fire of love tonight, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the sacred privilege of being in your house tonight. Father, we go with your grace and your strength. Thank you that this is going to be a week of great breakthrough in our intercession, Father. We thank you for the flame of love that is burning in all of our hearts. We thank you for the divine opportunities that we're going to even see tomorrow. We thank you and we bless you. Send us now with traveling mercy. May everyone sleep well tonight. Those who have to travel long distance, God, may you multiply their rest. And may we all wake up in the morning with the love of God that has been shed abroad our hearts, communing with you and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's praise our Savior one last time this evening. Thank you, Jesus.